Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it blood and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Leanne Rowland is a 2005 graduate of Geneva, majoring in student ministry. She did an internship at Christ Church at Grove Farm, and then did student ministry at Christ Church at Grove Farm, and has been recently named the missions director at Christ Church at Grove Farm. Please welcome Leanne.
Well, good morning, Geneva College. This is great. How is everyone? Okay, this is homecoming week. This is like school spirit week, and that's what I get. How are you this morning? All right, that'll do. Well, hey, I just want to start off by thanking you for having me. This is a huge honor. This room is very familiar to me. I have spent every summer in this field house since I was 11 years old, hanging out with Coach Kephart. I was a majorette here at Geneva College. I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, and so this is just awesome for me. So thank you for having me. Just to let you know what my story is that I was raised in a Catholic church and a Catholic home. My parents went to a church where Mass was in Latin, and they didn't understand a single word of what was happening. So my experience in church was that as long as I was a good kid, I had my ticket to heaven, and I was okay with that because I am a people pleaser. I never wanted to wrong anyone. I always wanted people to perceive me as being perfect, and that was pretty easy for me to do. I didn't work too hard in school and continually got high honors. I was involved with majorettes. I was involved in our Christian club starting in middle school, and things just got handed to me on a silver platter. It was really nice being me for a long time. I was accepted into college before my senior year of high school, so senior year was nothing to me. And then I came to Geneva, where not only did I want to do education, I wanted to do ministry. And so I became a student ministry major and got internships out of nowhere. It was awesome. I never applied for a job in my life. Up until that point, I traveled the country for a ministry called Silver Ring Thing. I would speak in front of hundreds and thousands of people and never once asked to do it. So things were pretty good for me. And when it really came to my relationship with Christ, it happened when I was 12, and I heard this guy speak at Creation Festival. Has anyone been to that? Yeah, okay. So you know what it's like, especially if you go in high school or middle school, and it's all the bands and everyone else is your age. It's fantastic. And so, but I remember hearing this guy talk about being a fan or follower of Christ. And he said, well, who here is a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers? And of course, me, bleeding black and gold. Ah, yes, of course. But then he asked, who's a follower of the Steelers? He said, do you know all the players? Do you know what each of them do? How they work together? Who are the coaches? And I had no idea to that answer. I knew we had the bus. That was pretty much my extensive knowledge of the Steelers. And it really made me rethink what following Christ meant. And so then I decided at that point that I was going to follow Christ. No matter what, I would give everything to follow him. And it was pretty easy to give up everything when I wasn't really giving up anything at all, but I was gaining everything I thought I would ever want. So I went through college, life was good, and then it happened. I graduated without a job. It's one of the hardest things to experience as a recent college grad that is now $30,000 in debt with no job, no health insurance, no way to pay a cell phone bill, and all of a sudden going, all right, God, where are you? I had never experienced it before. I had never experienced a type of trial or a suffering that caused me to question who God is until I was 21. And so as I sat there thinking, here's another month, more bills to pay, what am I going to do? I shook my fist at God and said, what's the deal? I serve you, I live a good life, I don't go out and party like my friends, I never have. I've worked in ministry for 4 years now, always helping out at church. I do everything for you, and where are you? And when I didn't hear an answer, I went and found it somewhere else. I hung out at the bars, got drunk every night, and that's how I dealt with it. Because I wanted nothing to do with a God that didn't take care of my needs and my wants. And I just walked away from it all. I would go to church every Sunday and put on the happy smile and tell people that God will answer my prayers someday, but it never happened. Day after day, week after week, I wasn't even getting an interview. And then I went over to Europe, where a situation happened that caused me to be on my knees in front of the Lord. And at that moment, I realized something key that I had yet to learn when it came to my faith in Christ. I had no idea who I was talking to. I realized that my life in prayer and worship up until that point was all about me. It was about what I wanted, what I desired, and the cool things I saw God do, but meanwhile said, yeah, we did that. That big victory right there, that was us. And all of a sudden I realized I had no idea who God was. And so I spent months reading scripture, trying to figure out who this God is that everyone is talking about. The God that people sacrifice their lives for, that leave the comforts of their own home to go serve throughout the world. And I'm so glad that I did, because I found him. And the only way that I was able to come to that point was getting to know him. It's interesting because in scripture, we like to pick out the things that we like and ignore the things we don't. So some people that follow Christ like to just read the good things and that God is love, but then they ignore some of the stuff that says God is just, God is a jealous God. And so when that question comes to them from a friend that's hurting and they don't know how to answer it, their world is shaken. So for me, when all of a sudden I started to question all of this and my world was completely shaken, the only thing I could do was get to know the God that I thought I loved. So a year and a half went by, and I felt really good because I knew that my God was unchanging, and I knew that he loved me, and I was so glad that he knew my life better than I knew my life. He knew why he was doing things in my life. Because in 2007, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer. That rocks anyone's world. He had smoked since I was born, worked around cars all the time. Wasn't really surprising that it happened. Every diagnosis at the beginning seemed great, and then with each month passing, it got worse and worse and worse. My mom sat there every night and cried, asking, "Why, God, why would you do this to us? What did he ever do to you?" And all I could do was give thanks for every day I had with my dad because I knew it wasn't long. He went through chemotherapy for a year and a half and radiation on his brain. He never got sick from his chemotherapy. He went a year and a half continuing to work up until 3 weeks before he died. That is a miracle, and that is the God that I know. As you can tell, I had two different experiences from the time that I left college, and they both were trials, and they both brought suffering and pain into my life. But because I knew my God differently during that second trial, my response and the way I lived was different. It's interesting, but everybody loves a good story, right? Everyone loves a good story. But a good story doesn't happen when a guy wants a nice car and all he does is go and buy it. That's not a good story. A good story is when a guy is down on his luck and all he wants is this fantastic car that he knows that he'll never get. And then he does something heroic or he makes some big sacrifice. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if he got the car. It's about the story and the way that he got to the end. The fact is that your life isn't about you. You're just a part of a bigger story. I've worked with students for 6 years, and time again, it was not just about making students do the milk gallon challenge, which is funny, I'll admit. But, man, we all go through junk in our lives. Every single one of us. And for me, it didn't happen until after college, so I am grateful for that. But we all have stuff going on in our lives. We lose loved ones. A relationship ends. We give away a piece of ourselves. Someone takes away a piece of us. We didn't do as well as we wanted. God's not answering a prayer the way that we would like him to. Because we're all human. We're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior. And I got to go to this conference last year, and it was amazing. But one of the things that was shared with me that I never realized, and it really did take me this long to figure this whole thing out, but and just so you know, I'm going to hold up my Bible and just be proud because this is the Bible I've owned since college, and as you can tell, it's nice and worn, so it's duct taped together, so don't get offended, but it means it's been used a lot. But the stories in here are not about people. You know, we like to focus on the stories of Abraham and the stories of Moses. This isn't about people. But this is about God's story. This is about the God, our living God, that is yesterday, today, and forever. And if you think about all the different players in this book, they only have one thing in common. They were all messed up. Okay, they have two things in common. They were all messed up. And each one of their stories is about knowing God. They sought to know God for who he truly is. Moses continually wanted to know God in order to lead the Israelites. Joseph always wanted to know God because his story was crazy. Something awesome would happen, then something really bad would happen. Every single player in this book wanted to know God for who he truly was and not what somebody else said he was. But how about you? You chose to come to this amazing college where you get an education unlike most. You learn about who your God is and what he's doing in you, no matter what job or career you choose. But do you know God? When you're sitting in your introduction to the Old Testament class, do you care to know who God is? Or do you just want to pass the test? When you're sitting in your humanities class, which I know we all love our humanities classes, are you just trying to get through and remember dates so you can pass the test? Or do you realize that God's hand has been in every single piece of history? And that you play a role in that? I love this passage that I was able to choose for this morning, because it speaks so true to what happens in our lives. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of their thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. There's something that we have to realize. Each of us in this room are honored because God created us. And because of that, it's great to know our Creator, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. This passage, his ways are not our ways, and I am so glad, because my ways are really bad sometimes. And my thoughts are really bad sometimes. Working in ministry, you learn a lot about people that you may not enjoy. So you have to understand that The junk is coming. If it hasn't happened yet, it's coming. And how you respond is only going to be because of how you know God. Now, growing up as a people pleaser, I always thought that I had to be good enough to be loved by God. If I disappointed him, he wouldn't love me the same. But I realized that it doesn't work that way at all. That I have to know God in order to love him. And because of his love for me, that's when I live out who I truly am. That's when I know and learn more about who he is. Because I'm going to be honest, I hope I'm not the only one that feels this way, but if you look at what's just been happening in our world in the past year, this place is a difficult place to live. We have earthquakes happening, tsunamis. We have hurricanes that are tearing up the East Coast. I spend a lot of time over in Uganda where you hold children that are dying from malnutrition and kids that are on their deathbed because of malaria. I spend time in the Bahamas where I work at a colony where mainly everyone there is just waiting to die from AIDS. And they look over at the graveyard of those that have died before them from that colony. How can someone look at that and not ask God what is going on? But if we truly understand that our God is who he says he is in Scripture, and if you think about what he has revealed about himself, then we can trust that he is a good God and that we get to be a part of what he's doing. That the people that you talk to when you leave this room, you have an impact on. Your friends from high school that know you go to a Christian college, they watch what you do. And if you're all happy and cheerful when God's making things go your way, and then the storm comes, and you want to just turn around and walk away from him, you're not the only one that notices that. Everyone else does too. What is your foundation based on? Because to be honest, you can't have a relationship with a person and not know anything about them. We all have those people in our lives that they were great when you first met them, those first couple days. And then you get to know more about them, and you go, they're crazy. Come on, we all know that person. We all have it. But here's what you have to realize, is that people say that about God because they don't understand what is written in Scripture. They don't know who he is. But if you spend time in his word, and if you spend time with him, and you truly get to know him, truly know him, and all of his different names, because remember, names had a lot of meaning back in the times of Scripture. If you really get to know that, that is where your hope will lie. That's when you have a peace that transcends all understanding that people can't make sense of. That's when you represent a living God that is moving and active. There's this beautiful piece of Psalm 9 that I love. It says, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Who do you represent? Because it's really easy for us to want to represent ourselves well. It's really easy to represent God in our comfort zone. Right now, you're surrounded by other believers. You get to hear about God in your classes. It's really nice. What happens when you leave this campus? What happens when you drive down to the South Side for the first time? What happens when you hear about the party that's happening? What happens when your friend loses their dad? Who are you in that moment? Because the fact is that there is a God that is love and merciful and just. He is jealous for you. He is relentless after you because you are his. But do you know that? When you sing these songs, do you believe what you are singing? Are you truly giving him praise because you agree that he is to be glorified? Or do you sing it because everyone else around you is singing? Do you sing because you like the melody? Or do you sing because it's true? I'm going to be honest. When I was here at Geneva, my first couple years, my Bible was a textbook. That's all it got used for. Life was going good. I didn't really have a need to dig into Scripture. I felt like I made excuses that I was in Scripture all the time for class. But this isn't a textbook. And this isn't just a moral book to tell you what you need to do to be good enough to get into heaven. This is God's story, and this is your story, because you are his. If you claim to love God, then ask yourself if you know him. Do you really know him? That when things are going to get difficult and when things don't go your way, do you still trust that he's got something awesome happening? And that he's still going to utilize you and that you're open and willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to serve him? My first true mission trip was to Uganda. I worked in ministry for a lot of years, but my first actual mission trip, I said, I either go big or go home, so send me to Africa. And I worked right below where there are children being kidnapped from their homes and turned into soldiers. Go to a place like that, and then you start to question, is our God a loving God? But because I know who our God is, because of what he has done in my life and what he has done in the history of the world, I can say, yeah, my God is a loving God. This is unjust, but this is our world. But my God is a loving God. And so, Geneva College, I want to challenge you this morning with something simple. But Jesus put it best, because the Pharisees tended to turn things into just 600 and some statements and rules to obey. But Jesus brought it down to this when asked. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You have to know someone to love them. And if you are a follower of Christ, I challenge you. Do you love God? Do you know God? And do you love your neighbors? Because in order to love your neighbors, you need to know what's going on in their lives too. Do you know your God? I want to end with a quick story. In the Bahamas, you know, I work at this AIDS colony. It's called All Saints Camp. Residents there are dying of AIDS and other diseases that the government won't care for them. No one else really wants to be around them because they're afraid that they'll catch whatever they have. So I walked into a woman's room. Her name is Miss Moxie. You can look her up on YouTube. Miss Moxie sat there and just started praising the Lord that we came to visit. And she looks at you and she goes, "Honey, here," and hands you the Bible. And she tells you to open it up. And you start reading. And she starts mouthing the words with you. She knows Scripture in and out. It's what she does all day, is sit there and read. But what happens next is that she starts to tell you about forgiveness. She starts to tell you how important forgiveness is, because you must forgive because God forgave you. And that's when you know God's love, when you understand His forgiveness and you forgive others. But then you hear her story. Miss Moxie grew up in the Bahamas, and she came to Florida to visit a cousin. While she was in Florida, she got into a really bad car accident. And this was back in the 70s before they checked blood for things like AIDS. She got a blood transfusion and then was infected with AIDS. She came to the land of opportunity that she thought would be life-saving, and it has led her to her grave. But Miss Moxie knows her God. She knows who she represents, and she really believes who this God is that has written and breathed these words, because she dances and smiles and loves like no one else I've ever seen. I want to be like Miss Moxie. I want to know my God so well that I see through His eyes, and that my heart is burdened for what burdens His. And my prayer for you is that you want to know our God in such a way that you see through His eyes. So Geneva, thank you, and may you leave this place wanting to know more about the God that loves you. Thanks.